Hi, I'm Femi OK. Today on the stream, we are going to bring you some of the Al Jazeera English correspondents who bring you the news. They will take us behind the scenes of their reporting and share some of their most important and memorable stories that they filed this year. So hello to John Holman, Hibba Morgan and Manel Fernandez. So great to have all of you here. How comfortable or uncomfortable is it to talk about what you've done this year? Honest, take off the filter. John.
I was just thinking about that as you were saying it. It's quite comfortable, actually, because we did a film, which was what I was going to tell you about journalists, our colleagues in Mexico and what they're going through.
Yeah.
And just to publicise it, I've had to do quite a lot of press in Mexico. So I suppose that's probably the wrong answer to give, but it's actually got quite
no, the honest answer is
about what we're
is
doing.
Right. John's like, I'm okay, I can talk about anything now. Hibba, to have to talk about the process, the journalism, and not just deliver the reporting, does that feel good?
It's not something we're used to talking about, obviously. Mm. You know, we're used to talking about, I would say, the people we're doing stories on and the issues we're doing stories on. But then the process itself, you know, it's here in Sudan, it varies. Sometimes it's a happy process. Sometimes it's a depressing process, depending on the kind of stories you're getting.
Sure.
So, yeah, it varies.
Yeah, I mean, no, we don't like, as generally, as journalists, to talk about ourselves and what we did. And this was really tough and we didn't eat for 5 days. And none of that makes the news. But I'm sure that people who love the news find that fascinating. Manel.
Yeah, because, I mean, one of the obvious basic tenets is, you know, you're never the story and you shouldn't become it. So you're always focusing on stories of other people, you know, being the voice and giving them sort of that platform.
Oh.
So you don't really get to focus on the process of how you got there or the behind the scenes. But it does sort of sometimes bear taking a back seat and maybe reflecting on that process, because it's good to think about it as well.
The reason John is in a car is because he's on the way to a new assignment, which is so appropriate for taking you behind the scenes of what some of our journalists are doing this year. John, one of the biggest stories that you covered was for Al Jazeera Fault Lines. And I am going to share just a little moment from that production so people can hear the story, then come off the back of it and tell us why it was so important to you in 2022. Let's take a look.
Margarito Martinez Esquivel. Presente. Lourdes Maldonado.
Presente. Mexico's one of the most dangerous countries in the world to be a journalist. In 2022, it's on pace to be the deadliest year yet.
Roberto Toledo.
Presente.
Over the past two decades, the country's violence and corruption has meant journalists face attacks from everywhere.
No, no sabes en qué momento te van a agarrar. No sabes en qué momento vas a salir y te puede pasar algo.
So, John, I'm just thinking about why that's so important. I know that we've regularly talked about journalists under attack in Mexico. John is on the way to an assignment, so we've just lost him for a moment. We're going to call him back and bring him back in to that conversation. I'm going to then skip across to Manel, because you had to be quite reflective when you were talking about Sri Lanka.
I am sorry, we cut just at that moment.
All right, John. John is now back. Manel, hold tight. This is like doing live TV. This is live TV. So, John, come back here and tell us really why that was one of the most critical stories that you reported on this year. Is John with us? All right, we'll connect with John in just a moment. I am going to play for you a little piece that we do here at Al Jazeera, and the story is, and the thread is called Between Us, and it's what often journalists do and tell you about what it was like to tell the story. This Between Us is from Manel, and then Manel, will you pick up off the back of it, because I really want to get our audience to get a sense of how you covered a huge story for Sri Lanka this year. First of all, here's Between Us.
The things that have been happening in my country have been quite an emotional journey for me. I'm angry that it had to come to this. I feel let down because those who were in power and positions of authority haven't really done what they promised to do. Bad management, corruption, nepotism, has brought the country to its knees.
You know, if you had to sum up this year in a word, what word would that be for you?
Critical.
Yeah.
Critical for Sri Lanka as it stands at a crossroads. And the stuff we saw unfolding from the point that this country started sliding into its worst economic crisis it has ever known, to seeing the impact it had on ordinary Sri Lankans. It basically led to queues for days on end, shortages of basic essentials, and people really, really, really began to feel the pinch of that economic crisis. And therein, the anger and the frustration actually led people to take to the streets like they never had before. And no. I think for Sri Lanka, yeah. That led to a process of people taking a stand, making their voices heard, coming out in public protest, which ultimately led to a change in leadership, the exit of a prime minister, a president. And I think in that sense, it's been critical for Sri Lanka.
Manil, can you take us through some of the shots that you shared with us, literally taking us behind the scenes of your reporting? We didn't see this on TV. What is happening in this shot here? You're on the phone, you're sitting on the floor. Tell us more.
So this was at actually a Goldsmith's workshop, if you look at that sort of flat sort of plank in front of that man that's actually a piece of gold that he generally works with. And close by, the blue is a gas cylinder. And this was a story we did where we went to talk to people about shortages. And this guy was saying that they use sort of gas cylinders in their work to fashion jewelry, much of it done by hand. And he was telling us how costs had absolutely skyrocketed because of the shortage of gas. They were paying something like 3 to 4 times as much to sort of secure it on the black market. This is a lady who makes food and sells it for a living. And she was talking about, again, how the high cost of living had impacted her. She has a number of grandchildren she supports. This on the road to the prime minister's office, where we see essentially a deployment of soldiers. We had been camped out there literally for about 2 or 3 hours with the protesters that were sort of confronting the police and the military. Again, here near the gold face at the presidential secretariat, a sort of a standoff between military, riot police. As you can see, them all kitted up with gas masks, which for months on end, we just had many, many times where the authorities used tear gas, volleys of it, as well as water cannons to push back protesters and sort of break up protests, which were very, very common over those months.
Let me go back to John. John, thanks for reconnecting. I wanted you to tell our audience why that particular report, the film that you did with Fault Lines, was so critical for this year in your reporter's notebook guide for 2022.
Yeah, definitely. I think part of it was the fact that there are colleagues. I've been in Mexico like now for 16 years. So when we do stories about Mexican reporters and what the dangers that they're facing and the fact that they're being killed, that I suppose strikes a chord because there's been people that I've known, people that have actually gone on deployments with and they've been killed, you know, or they've been assaulted, things have happened to them. So I suppose from a personal point of view, it was good to do that film. But of course, it's also sort of when you look at journalists, like doing films about other journalists, I think maybe to the public, it can seem a little bit like, well, it's just because it's your profession. But I think what we tried to do, and I made the film with Kavitha Chikuro, who wrote it, and Javier Manzano, who did all of the beautiful images. What our central thing about was like, listen, if journalist voices are falling silent in parts of the country, that has a direct impact on democracy, not on people. Because you hear less critical voices, you have less opportunity to make decisions that are informed in terms of who's going to be in charge of you, in terms of governance, in terms of organized crime, you know? So it's really important as someone who's lived in Mexico for a long time to do it for that reason, you know? It was quite it reminded you how disturbing it was, the line here that's between international press and national and especially local press in the most violent areas of the country. And I tried to like include that in the film, and Kavitha did as well, the fact that no international journalists have been killed in Mexico in the last decade. Meanwhile, for the national press, this is the most dangerous country in the world for reporters after Ukraine, you know? So I don't know, like just going to all the sort of hinterlands of all these dangerous areas of Mexico and talking to people about what they're going through, like our colleagues, and then telling some stories that just made your blood sort of curdle. You have that sense of your privilege, I suppose. And like, God, if I was going through that in that village with that proximity to a gang leader who would put me under threat, I think I would have like, you know, I'd become an accountant or something, you know. Mm. So sort of admiration for them, I suppose, as well.
We are catching you as you are on your way to an assignment. Can you tell us what the assignment is? And perhaps does that give us a sense of what the big stories might be for you in 2023?
Yeah, I suppose for Peru, which is where I'm heading to, hopefully not, because there's protests that are around the country at the moment about a president that's just been ousted. He was also trying to dissolve Congress and things like that. It's one of those stories, I suppose, if we're talking about the back room of journalists, for everyone who's in this conversation, they'll have done this. When you get a message from your editor at 8 o'clock in the morning, we need you in Peru as soon as possible. And now it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And the team, Vanessa, I'll show you quickly, is the camera person who's going with me.
Hey, Vanessa.
She's going to be spending her birthday now in Peru rather than in Acapulco with all of her friends. So it's that typical sort of like you're running. And before this show, I was looking at different media reports to try and read up a bit on the story. So hopefully in like tomorrow at this time, I'll be looking very authoritative in front of the camera and telling you exactly what's going on in Lima together with my colleague Mariana Sanchez. But at this moment, I'm sweating it a bit.
Oh, we love to see the sweat, John. Thank you so much. Before we send you off, do you have like a to-go bag? Are you ready at any moment for that call from Doha? Like, OK, boom, we're going. Do you have that?
Yeah, I do. And it's in my office. It's like a little rucksack. And it's actually, I was trying to show it to someone on the last trip I was on. I think I was quite proud of it because I put it together this year and it felt quite complete. I was pulling stuff out and there was this bag of free balaclavas, which basically I've got in there if we interview anyone from organised crime or someone that doesn't want to speak.
Obviously.
And I think the person that I was showing it to was like, why have you got like three blackout balaclavas? It's the most suspicious thing in the world if you're crossing a border. So I'm not sure if I repack them, but hopefully in Peru custom, they won't think that I'm some sort of international terrorist who's going into the country for some sort of nefarious purpose.
John Holman, thank you so much for sharing your big story of this year. We really wish you every success as you go off on assignment to Peru, where you will be very authoritative. I am absolutely sure as we watch you on Al Jazeera English. I'm going to let John drive off to the airport. Actually, come here via this Instagram, which is John's Instagram here. He says, rehearsing what to say in the cemetery where Al Jazeera correspondent Shireen Abu Akleh was laid to rest this May. Her presence has loomed large over the visit from President Biden to the region. Really nice photos from Ricardo Lopez. So at that moment, this is the point where I want to bring in Nida Ibrahim, who really talked about and shared with us this year, her big story of this year. Have a listen, have a look.
This has been the toughest year in my professional career, not only because it has been the deadliest in 16 years, according to UN figures, but also because we lost a beloved colleague, someone who was passionate and dedicated to telling the Palestinian story. When Shireen Abu Akleh was killed by Israeli forces fire in Jenin 7 months ago, we had to continue telling the story. We had to keep reporting despite the pain, the grief, and the trauma. And we're still trying to keep the story alive. And we know that the pain that we're feeling is that no one has been held accountable yet.
If you are on YouTube right now, you can talk to Hiba Morgan and Manel Fernandez. Two of our Al Jazeera English correspondents have had big stories this year. Ladies, we've got a good question in from our online audience, and that is, how do you separate yourself from the story if it hits close to home? Shireen Abu Akleh is one of those stories, but there are other stories that you report on from your region that must feel very personal. How do you separate yourself? Can you separate yourself, Hiba?
Well, I think not always, no. Because, I mean, at least for me, I live in Sudan and it's home, right? I'm Sudanese and I know the people here. They're part of my everyday life. And whether the story is happening here in Khartoum or whether it's happening in Blue Nile State or in Darfur, you really can't always separate yourself. But I think ultimately you have to remember that you're trying to pass on a message and you're being somebody else's voice. And if you don't do it professionally and you get too immersed in it, then you kind of distort the message. And I think that's what keeps us straight while we're doing our job. That's how I feel like it is.
Mm. Manal?
Yeah, I agree with Hiba, because it is a responsibility and that something that I think we all take quite seriously, because the nature of stories sometimes, particularly in cases where it is your country, it is your people, you are not somebody who's sort of parachuted in, you know, you're living it with the people, that sort of differentiation or that line is something that you have to sort of religiously mark. And like we saw during the protest in Sri Lanka, there were times when you needed to be really, really careful not to get caught up in the sort of whole fervor of things. I mean, there were, from during those months of protest, there were marches, for example, by certain pocket groups sometimes of journalists, of media, who were also joining this kind of protest to take a stand against the government, to sort of demand the government to resign. And those things kind of start off a slippery slope, because once you start echoing and start taking up activism, then, you know, being able to sort of claim that you are credible and, you know, not biased or slanting towards one side is becomes difficult. So I think that is something of a responsibility that you really need to be very, very conscious of and not lose sight of.
All right. Watching on YouTube, we have Tudob Media, Al Jazeera English. I'm following you from Somalia, where you have covered Somalia for a very long time. I really appreciate your valuable work. I am sharing that with Hiba Morgan, who knows the region very, very well and has covered stories from that area. It's undeniable that we work for a very serious network. In the world of international networks, we are probably Brussels sprouts and vegetables, OK? We're not fluffy gatto and ice cream. We're pretty hardcore. So when a story comes along that's a little different, our audience notice and our correspondents notice as well. If I say Port Sudan to you, Hiba, what are you going to tell us that will make this next report that I'm about to play make sense? What's the preamble? What do we need to know?
That it has fascinating images. And when I think of Port Sudan now, you don't think of the usual Sudan. And yeah, Femi, I think you should show the viewers what I'm talking about, because I just, I can't talk about it. I think they better see it.
Hiba Morgan reporting from Port Sudan.
Port Sudan's coastal waters have long been a source of escape and pleasure for the people who live in the city. Many come to its shores during the summer months, but tour companies say very few dive to explore below its waters.
We try to show people that the sea has many types of activities, not just fishing. There's diving, there are islands to explore, they can camp on the coast. There are many activities that can promote tourism in the Red Sea, and we want to show people that.
So Hiba, there are certain parts of the world, the African continent being one of them, where people have an image about what it's like and the stories that often come out of the African continent. And diving and underwater imagery is not one of them. Tell us how you got that story through the newsroom.
So we were in Port Sudan. We deployed to do a story about this vessel that sunk just a few days back, before we deployed, that is. And about 15,000 sheep had drowned, and we were looking more at the environmental impact. And while we were there, we wanted to do something different because, you know, we've visited Port Sudan. We've done stories about the port and about, you know, the general economy and its importance and significance economically and politically. But while we were filming this stand-up, you know, we were looking to our right and there's this diving center. And we were a bit surprised. So we go in and we meet Malaz, who you just saw in the package. And we asked her about diving and what we would see. And she started showing us this amazing, amazing collection of pictures of the coral reefs, you know, and of Saint-Genève, which is basically a UNESCO site. And it's a UNESCO protected site. And very few people know that. So we sat down with her for about like 20 minutes. And she was just so passionate about talking about diving, about tourism. And less than 30 minutes in, we were sold on the story that there's something different that we could talk about. And we did the story after talking to Doha and telling them that, you know, we have something different. It's like a postcard from Port Sudan. And they were excited about it as well.
Yeah, I admire you being able to pitch that one, because whenever journalists stand on the beach, nobody believes that they're doing proper stories, right? Okay, so there's one more thing I would like you to do, and that is just to think about the new year, a future planning. What are the stories that you feel that you're going to be telling our audience, our viewers about in the new year? But first, I'm going to stop off with Stephanie Vassin, again, another Al Jazeera English correspondent, with the story that was very memorable for her this year, and that takes us to Ukraine.
We met very traumatized people escaping Bucha and Irpin at the time where Russian soldiers were on a killing spree. So they came and they were barely capable of sharing their stories with us. You could see the fear in their eyes. But there's one story that really has stuck in my mind, and that's the story of 95-year-old Alla Gravichna. She was in an apartment block, maybe on the 7th or 8th floor, and one of the volunteers we were filming, she was trying to convince the old woman to leave, but she said, "No, I'm not leaving. I'm refusing. I'm too old, and I would rather die in my bed." And amidst all the bravery of the Ukrainians that I saw at the time, this story also showed the helplessness, the feeling that we just simply couldn't do anything for her and had to leave her behind.
Of course, we're going to be covering Ukraine as a network in 2023. Hiba, from your region, what would you suggest that we be looking at very closely? What's going to be news in 2023?
I mean, for Sudan, it's obviously the political developments and the possibility of a deal between the political parties and the protests that we've been seeing throughout the year. But I think something that we will be looking more into in the coming year is the impact of climate change in the region and how it's fueling so many things, you know, sure. Like whether it's the economic crisis that we're having and whether it's the conflict and intercommunal conflicts that we're having. So I think that's
a big
something
story.
That we'll be looking deeper into.
Big story for the world. Yeah. Minal, in 1 minute towards the end of the show, what do you predict will be a big story from your region that you are going to be reporting on in 2023?
Sri Lanka's attempt to try and get back on its feet again and recover in terms of economic pullback from an abyss that literally this country has fallen into. The government is waiting for approval of a bailout package from the International Monetary Fund, which is taking quite a bit of time. But in the process, we're seeing sky-high prices, people really, really struggling to make ends meet. And while the government has looked at fiscal policy changes and a whole bunch of reform measures, the impact this is having on people is really something to watch and see how the government turns it around.
Manel Fernandez, Hiba Morgan, John Holman on the way to the airport to cover a story. This show proves that not only do we have the best correspondents in the world, we have the best viewers as well. Am I biased? No. Thank you so much for watching. Really appreciate you. I'll see you next time. Take care.
perfect timing.